The question we have this morning is, are we a soldier of the cross? Amen. Are we a follower of the Lamb? You know, the Bible has so much to say about so many things, but one of the things that we usually don't think of when we think about the Bible and the scriptures and the instructions that are given to us from the Word, we don't think of ourselves usually as a soldier. We don't think of ourselves as a soldier in a battle. But that's what the Bible says that we are.
Amen.
We're soldiers of the cross. And we're in a struggle and we're in a battle all the time, through all the ages, ever since Jesus went to heaven. He's left us here. He's empowered the church. But he tells us explicitly, you're always in a fight. You're in a battle. The battle is between God and Satan. Because the Bible says that God has relinquished the helm to Satan. Satan is the god of this world. And so we are in a world, and Satan is the god of this world. And when we come out of the world and embrace Christ and receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, we become a part of his church. We become a part of God's kingdom. And that's diametrically opposed to the kingdom of this world in every aspect, every sense. And so we're going to consider that this morning as we look to the Word. More and more today, Christians are challenged by the ungodly to engage in spiritual warfare. We are being challenged daily to fight for the Lord and fight for his kingdom and fight for the church, because we are trying to be gotten rid of, if I can use it that way, and marginalized and with no voice and with no say-so in this world. And so we're going to look at this morning. Turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. The Bible says here that we are soldiers in this passage. And he tells us here in 2 Timothy 2, 3 and 4, which I will read. He says, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has enlisted him as a soldier." So in other words, when we came to know Christ as our Lord and Savior, he enlisted us in his army. And we are to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And so that means that we separate ourselves from the god of this world, who's Satan. It means that we separate ourselves from the world as such. The world means in the Bible that they leave God out. It's a system, a worldly system. It leaves God out. And Satan's the head of that system in this life, in this world. So when we accept Christ, we take our stand with Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And we're against Satan and all of his power and all of his dazzling invitations to be a part of his kingdom. We come over on the Lord's side. And so this is what we want to talk about something today. It says in verse 6 of that same passage, "May the Lord give you understanding in all things." So he tells us we are to be endure hardship as a good soldier. And if we're engaged in warfare, we don't entangle ourselves up with the affairs of this life, that we may please him who has enlisted us to be a soldier. We live to please the Lord. We come over on the Lord's side. And remember the two bookends that I give you every now and then that came through one of our classes in counseling. These young Christians had these two bookends in their life. One was, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him,
amen,
and He will direct your paths.
Yeah.
Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And the other one, the book in they had was, seek ye the first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things that was Jesus was talking about, making a living, clothing ourselves, having food to eat, which is something we're all engaged in every week. He says all of these things will just be added to you.
Amen.
If you put me first, seek my kingdom first. So we make a choice. When we come over on the Lord's side, it's not an easy life. We're engaged in a warfare, which is a spiritual warfare. And just about everybody in the world, or everybody is in the world, engaged in this warfare. We're either on the Lord's side or we're on Satan's side. He tells us that in Ephesians chapter 2 when he starts out. He said, remember, we were all engaged in the work of Satan. We were all carried away of our own lusts before we got saved. And then he goes on to say, but by grace we were saved through faith. And that after we are saved, he has given us a workmanship to carry out that he's already ordained for us to walk in. And so the word tells us explicitly that we're on the devil's side until we get saved and come over on the Lord's side.
Amen.
That's the struggle. That's the battle of this age. Some examples of the devil's work in my lifetime, in your lifetime, most of you, some of you weren't born yet, I guess. But back in the 60s, there was a movement to do away with prayer in the schools. And most of us in the church, we didn't think much about that because we thought, well, you know, maybe we shouldn't have prayer in the schools because we have it in our home. We've got Christian homes in this country. We have our church, we belong to the church, and we have prayer meetings. And so the average Christian just said, ho-hum, and nobody raised a voice much of opposition. And in one fell sweep, Satan got prayer kicked out of the schools. So they said, you can't pray in school. So then some of us who were youth at that time said, well, maybe we can still have a Bible study after school. And then we can have prayer together after school. And we had little clubs, Youth for Christ clubs in the high school. And so they said, yeah, you can do that. When school's dismissed and everybody's gone, if some of you want to be over here in a classroom and have a little Bible study and have some prayer, that's fine. So they let us do that. And then that went on for a while, and then somehow it just kind of faded away, and there was no more prayer. I read recently about a coach who was a Christian, and he had a wonderful football team. And so he said, when we have victory out on the field, or even if we have defeat, I want us to gather out in the center field and bow our heads and our knees, and let's pray. And just have a testimony to the community that we're trusting God, whether we lose or whether we win. And so he did that. And you know what? The forces of evil said, that's not right. You can't do that on school ground. You can't have a prayer meeting out on the football field, whether you win or lose. You can't do that. And they told the coach, he said, that'll be the last time you do that. No more prayer out here on the field. He thought, well, that's crazy. Well, if they won't let me pray with all my teammates, still America, right? I'll pray. So the next game, after he dismissed all the players, he knelt down out on the center field and had prayer. The coach did. You know what happened on Monday? That school district fired him. They fired him for having prayer by himself out in the middle of the football field after a game. So you see, there is a battle. There is a struggle going on in every segment of our society today. There's a struggle, a battle going on. There are people who are anti-Christian groups, well-financed, who sue and threaten cities and counties and people in the running the city, having the city council meetings, and they threaten to sue them if they have prayer, if they let somebody come in and pray in Jesus' name, if they post the Ten Commandments, they're going to sue them. They're going to have a problem. They're going to have to hire an attorney and fight it. Also, they cannot have a nativity scene because that's against the law, because not everybody's a Christian, and you're making other people feel bad if you have a nativity scene and talk about Jesus. And all these things are going on constantly, and they're well-financed, and they threaten the people that be so that they say, well, maybe we ought to just let it go because we're going to get sued. And then we got to get an attorney. It's going to cost us money. We better let it go. And little by little by little, those kinds of things have gone into the darkness. We have abortion in this country, and it's increasing all the time. I think I saw a figure a few days ago, something like we've killed 80 million babies in this country. 80 million. And I read one of the people that are fighting this type of thing that have an anti-abortion ministry, and they told about when they went to get an abortion and what the people told them that would happen. Well, you need to have an abortion because you're a single mom and you can't afford to take care of this baby, and you what are you going to do about your job? And they just started, you know, telling her, you better have an abortion. And so she was going to have an abortion, and praise God, through his interference, she didn't have it. And she became a person to fight abortion, being very effective in many places. But the clever lies that were given to her to have an abortion, she had the Spirit of God in her and she rejected. But this has been a tremendous thing in this world. Bill Gates, for example, his whole ministry and his whole life is to limit the number of people on the earth. And his father was the head of the abortion group up in Northwest United States. And here he became a billionaire through Microsoft. And now he's devoted his whole life of vaccines and killing babies and doing anything he can do to limit the population. And so we got people with lots of money behind every satanic move that's taking place in this country. Big tech. They say, if you don't agree with us and what our philosophies are, which are definitely not God's philosophies, they say, if you don't agree with anything we believe in, we're just going to take you off our platform. And they just take one good person, one good movement, one good thing at a time, and say, you can't use our platform. You can't use Facebook. You can't use Twitter. You can't use all of the different platforms that we have, Instagram, and they just take you off. And these people are the wealthiest people in the whole country. All of these people are billionaires, and they're all on the wrong side fighting against the things of God. Well, these are some of the examples of the devil's work. The devil is the god of this world, and he knows what he wants, and he knows what he don't want. And he's moving upon everything that he doesn't want. And we're in the crossroad, like this. And as a result, we have to take a stand strongly for the Lord. We have to speak up when we have the opportunity to speak up. Amen. We have to fight when we need to fight. We're a soldier of Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's what he's telling us here. The battle is the Lord. I want you to turn with me over here to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And here in these words, in beginning in verse 10, I think we have this scripture up here for you. Finally, my brethren, that's you and me, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the tricks of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Amen. And so the Bible says, in order for us to be effective, we have to have the whole armor of God. We have to stand against these other things that the devil is promoting constantly in our society. And so he tells us that this is a spiritual battle. We cannot fight this battle in our own strength. We need God's strength and God's power. And our secret weapon is always prayer. Yeah. That's our secret weapon. We need to pray more. Yeah. We need to pray fervently. Yeah. And we need to pray often and pray about everything. Because we're in a spiritual warfare. We don't want to get tripped up ourselves. We want to be strong. We don't want to give in. So we need prayer to strengthen us and help us in the battle. And I hope and pray that you have a time when you pray, that you have a special time you pray. We have special times we pray here. Amen. As well. And we need to all of us be in prayer. I just learned this morning that Franklin Graham is calling for a special day of prayer because of Afghanistan and the terrible things that happened in Afghanistan. You know that in the White House, there was a four-month withdrawal program of everybody out of Afghanistan that was drawn up during the Trump administration, and it was there on hold because they knew that eventually they would want to remove the troops and get out of Afghanistan. And so they had a program that he studied, and they wrote it, who would be evacuated first, how they would be evacuated, what planes would be necessary, what forces would be necessary to keep the order while we evacuate, while we withdraw. A four-month plan. That plan was laid aside in this debacle that we just witnessed this last week. And now it's total chaos over there. You see, we can make the best plans we can think of, but if we don't have people to carry them out that makes sense, those plans are just futile. They do nothing. We need God to help us to get this thing right and on the right track. We don't know how many lives will be lost if we can't deal. And so basically what we're doing now is making a deal with the devil. We're trying to make a deal with the forces that we've been fighting for all these years. We're trying to make a deal with them to let us get out. And so far they've been cooperating to a certain extent, but what if they quit cooperating? We need to really pray about this situation today in Afghanistan. And as I say, God is on the throne. He will hear our prayers. He will help us. He will direct us, even though our leadership has let us down. So this is an example of how much we need the Lord. We can't fight the battle on our own. The Bible says right here that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, against principalities of powers, the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And that's what we have at work in the whole world, all over the world. And we need to look to God. Praise the Lord if He would bring a revival to the churches today. Through prayer, through us going on our knees and asking God to help us. Because if God doesn't help us, we're going to lose the battle.
Yeah.
We're going to lose the battle. And they're trying to even keep the name of Jesus, the Ten Commandments, anything that's spiritual, anything that has to do with God. There's forces at work in our country to try to just eliminate all that. They don't even really want us to even meet in church. And part of the pandemic succeeded in that, to eliminate us even meeting in our churches across the land. And there's other ways that these are tricks of the devil.
Yeah.
And Satan is the god of the world, and he controls all this that's going on. So we need to, as a people of God, to call upon God and call upon the Lord Jesus to give us strength and to give us power and to help us to stand firm,
Amen.
To stand strong. We may only be one person or two people or five people, but we can still stand strong for the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And that's what God wants us to do. We can only be strong if we have a time that we read the Word of God, that we study the Word of God, we hide it in our hearts so we know what God's doing and what this program is, and as we pray and gather together to pray and seek the Lord and seek His face and His blessing. We need to put on the whole armor of God. Last week I started a study, or is in the fourth week of our study in James. Let me read to you what we studied last Wednesday night in our Bible study in James. He says here in James chapter 1, "Why do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that the friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Do you not think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? But He gives more grace, therefore He says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." So in other words, he's talking about a faction in the church. James was the pastor of the first church of Jerusalem. And he said, we got problems in the church because we got people who aren't spiritual. We got people who are wanting the friendship of the world and that are doing everything they can to be a part of the world. And that's the reason when they ask, they don't receive, because they're not right with God. They don't have any power, no blessing. And so he's calling on his people to come out from among them, be separate, be strong in the Lord. And walk with Him. Let Him guide your life. If you're walking with God and you ask, you will receive. Amen? He won't say no. He'll say, I'll give you your blessing. I'll be with you in the midst of your hardship, in the midst of your trouble. We all have problems. We all have troubles. But there's one thing to be in the midst of trouble without God on our side, and another thing to be in the midst of trouble with God helping us.
Yes.
Amen? And so that's what James is calling for here, to really submit. And then verse 7, he says, "Therefore submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you."
Yes.
This is to the Christian. "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you."
Yes.
"Cleanse your hands, sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up."
Yes, thank you.
And so this is the promise we have. We have to humble ourselves. We have to ask for God's blessing, for God's power in our life, and then we can have victory over the things of this world. In John, 1 John, he says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is diminished in him." You only have so much capacity to love. And he says all the things of the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, that's all of the world. And we just need to forsake that and ask God to give us a love for him and his work and to live like we love God. That's what he's asking us to do. Don't love the world. It's diametrically opposed to everything that is godly. So in Ephesians 6, and with this I close, he says, put on the whole armor of God. Probably Brother Drew's going to get there pretty soon in Ephesians 6. I didn't ask him when that was coming up. But we're going to give you a precursor to Ephesians 6 here. And it's verses 10 through 12. So let's look at this together. Galatians 6, 10 through 12. You got it up there? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Then skip down to verse 14. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, which by which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. The shield of faith. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Studying the word. Hiding it in your heart. You take the shield of faith. And when Satan throws his darts at you, you can resist the devil.
Amen.
And those darts will just bounce off your shield of faith. Because you're walking by faith, not by sight. You're pleasing God in all you do. He says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
Amen.
The sword of the Spirit, that's our weapon to really foil all of the attacks of Satan, and to hinder Satan when he tries to take a soul to hell. We can get in the middle of that and fight Satan with the word of God and to rescue that person unto the Lord. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, Paul said, pray that I may be given utterance, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, that I might be an ambassador for Christ. And so as we are strengthened, as we take on the whole armor of God, as we pray, as we work for the Lord, he will use us to snatch a soul from hell, to snatch a soul from the devil. And God is at work through us. And through our prayer life, to bring others to know Christ. And we all need to be doing this. This is the work of the Lord, the work of the church, to be in the battle line and on the front lines for the Lord. And we can only do that if we ourselves are free and clear from sin and from all the things of the world, that we might be strong in the name of the Lord. So God help us to that end. There's only two sides. We're either on God's side or we're on the devil's side. Now, that doesn't leave anything in the middle, does it? I think I've met a few people that had one leg in the world doing the things of the world and of the devil, and the other leg is over here in the church. So on Sunday, they're over here on the church, but the rest of the time, they're over here on the devil's side. And what's Paul say? These things ought not to be. These things should not be named once among us, that we're trying to straddle the world and the church at the same time, the Satan's work and God's work at the same time. No, we need to come out from among you. Be separate, saith the Lord. I'll make you my sons and daughters if you're separated unto me. I'll bless you and I'll take care of you and I'll help your witness to be strong and powerful in this world. So may God help us to do that.
Yes.
we need to really depend upon the Lord. You know, when I was growing up in the church, we had a battle on our hands, similar to what we have today, but this battle was communism. Communism were taking one nation after another all across the world. And the church was very stirred up about this back in the 50s and 60s. And this is when the state militias came alive also all across the country. We had state militias where people were joining an armed group in order to be ready if the communists tried to take us over. And so there's a lot of preaching against communism and against what Satan was doing in the world through the godless, hell-inspired communists. And so this became the main song in our church when I was growing up. The name of it is The Conflict of the Ages, written by Mrs. C.H. Morris. Now, this lady was a godly woman who wrote hymns. And she was stricken blind when she's 52, but she kept on writing hymns. She would tell people what the hymns were, and they'd write them down. And she came up with about 1,000 hymns in her lifetime. And even as she was blind, she was writing hymns. But this hymn was only in certain songbooks. It wasn't in our regular songbook. So our pastor, he found out about this hymn, and he got rid of our regular songbook, and he got a different songbook that had this hymn. And this became the main theme hymn that we had during the 50s. And the name of it is The Conflict of the Ages. And this is what it said. This is 65, 70 years ago. Lo, the conflict of the ages is upon us today, and the armies are assembling all in battle array. Are you numbered with the faithful, one of God's loyal few, who have sworn him full allegiance? Can he count upon you? And here was the refrain. Have your eyes caught the vision? Have your hearts felt the thrill? To the call of the master, do you answer, I will? For the conflict of the ages, told by prophets and by sages, in its fury is upon us today. This is what we were singing. Then the second verse says, catch the vision of a lost world going downward in sin, while the Master's great commission long unheeded has been. See the children of the kingdom joined in heart and in hand, pressing forward in the struggle to redeem this fair land. And then again, the refrain, have your eyes caught the vision? Have your hearts felt the thrill? To the call of the Master, do you answer, I will? For the conflict of the ages, told by prophets and by sages, in its fury is upon us. Now, if the fury was upon us back in the 50s, which was kind of the golden age of our whole national history, everything was great in the 50s, but if the fury was upon us back then, what about today? We're in the conflict of the ages today. And we are probably getting ready for the manifestation of the Antichrist. That's how much of the struggle is today, all across the world. And we're getting lined up to be able to foister the Antichrist's agenda upon the nations. I don't say it's going to come this week or next month or even next year or the following year, but we're getting ready for it. We're getting conditioned to be told what to do and what we can do and what we can't do, which is what the Antichrist has to have in order to bring about his kingdom. So this is a time of warning. This is a time of conflict today that we need to be informed about. We need to be praying about and asking God to help us. Amen. To stand strong for him. And if we stand strong, we're going to be all right no matter what happens. Because he's with us. We don't have to have any more power than that, any more blessing than that. So may God help us to take this message to heart this morning. Hallelujah. Father, we pray that you would guide and direct us, Lord, in these days. Help us to have understanding and wisdom. Help us to call upon you and to walk with you. Help us to realize, Lord, we're soldiers of the cross. And there's only two directions that we can follow today. Either Satan, who's the god of this world, or Christ, who is the Savior of the world. We pray, Lord, that we might be strong in the Lord, that we might bring up our children to love you and to serve you, that we might be challenging other people to walk close to the Lord. And Lord, may we come together in powerful prayer every chance we get, Lord, to pray for our nation, to pray about this situation even today in Afghanistan, for our fellow soldiers over there who love you and are trying to get out before this satanic movement there. We pray, Lord, that you would just guide and direct us in all that we say and do. And Lord, we give you all the honor and glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.